Wait, wait, stop, that's the one.
Welcome to Zenten Speaks, a show where I make new friends and reconnect with old ones. A show where everyone's stories may inspire you to tell your own story. In this podcast, we encourage everyone to get rid of shame, guilt, fear, doubt, and judgments for themselves and for others, and replace those with love, empathy, compassion, understanding, kindness, and to do your best in everything that you do. In essence, to get rid of things that no longer serve your well-being. To be true to yourself and be honest with others. No need to be politically correct. That's out the window with 2020. Here, we tell the raw, uncensored story. Your story. And tell the truth as you see it. Make sure you live your fulfilled life without permission or apologies. So, if you have a juicy, interesting, raw, unapologetic story, and inspiring, please make sure to contact me at zenten21@gmail.com. It is zenten21@gmail.com. Or you can find me on most social media platforms. You know it. The IG, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, OnlyFans. I mean, not really. But yes, OnlyFans. Just kidding. Not. As you may guessed it, my name is Zen, and welcome to the show.
And I apologize about the background. I want to do it in the house, but we have guests over, and it's just crazy. So I came to the car.
Oh, it's fine. I want my podcast to be kind of like when you get up in the morning with your hair undone, and that's the real you. So.
Yeah, exactly. This is me, man. This is me.
Yeah, I like that.
You don't mind if I smoke or anything, do you?
Do whatever you want. All right, man. Yeah, I promote live life to the fullest as long as
Thank you, man. Appreciate that. Thank you. I'm all about totally. Living.
Yeah, totally. As of last year, I stopped the bullshitting myself. Like bullshitting being basically like not living yourself because of other people, what they might shame you, guilt you about, or judge you about.
Yeah, man.
As long as you're not hurting anyone physically.
Yeah.
Do you. So yeah, right. Totally.
Let me get comfortable, man. I'm making my jacket on. It's cold out here.
It's cold in, you're in Texas or somewhere else?
Yeah, I'm in Austin. It's like 40, 30 degrees out here. It's not cold, you know, but it's cold for Houston.
Yeah, cold for Austin. Texans.
Yeah. I'm actually from Cleveland, though. I'm actually born in Ohio, like right there by Lake Erie.
Okay, so it's cold right there.
Oh, yeah, it's very cold there. Yeah, I just got back.
Awesome. All right, I'm going to start. All right, today we have a guest. Our guest today is Malik Edwards. And Malik is a third generation born and raised Jehovah's Witness, although he isn't currently a Jehovah's Witness anymore. His father is an elder and his mother is a pioneer. So Malik and I met in one of those ex-Jehovah's Witnesses groups. And I'm very intrigued to hear his story, and it's very a juicy one. So welcome, Malik, to the show. Welcome, sir.
How you guys doing?
Awesome. Thank you for being here. So tell us about who you are and what brings you joy.
Wow. Well, I'll start from the beginning. I'm a third generation ex-JW. Born into it. My father is a super elder. That's what I call him. My mom is a regular pioneer for like 20 some years. So family's deep. So basically, family is deeply involved, you know. So I was, because my father's so deeply into it, you know, in the hall I went to, all the young guys were like, we were competing with each other for, you know, positions. you know, basically. They want to do the stage, you want to do the mics and stuff, you know, so it was crazy. So I sat in the front row, me and my guys, and I was the first one doing the mics. And when I was 9 years old, I was a publisher. You know, 9. Didn't know anything about life yet, you know, but I already published. And then at 12, I got baptized. And I was so gung-ho. Basically, every summer, I would do what's called pioneering. I was pioneering the whole summer. And every winter, I would pioneer doing the winter break. It's crazy, man. A kid, gung-ho. But, you know, me being me, I was always kind of rebellious. I was always kind of on the fence with things. And so, you know, of course, girls came and sports and stuff like that. So I found myself getting in trouble. And one thing about me, though, is I couldn't do the double life thing. I couldn't be, you know, basically, one thing about me, I've always been a real person. I've always been pretty honest with whoever I'm dealing with. And when I was in the hall, I was gung-ho in the hall. I was a number one soldier. You know, I was doing everything, mics, pioneering, everything. And then when I got in trouble, I got in trouble, but I still believed in it. I mean, I still believed in it. Even when I was this fellowship 2 times, I still believed in it, you know. All these years, you know, I would go to Memorial every now and then. I was doing what I was doing out here, but I still, you know, believed in Jehovah's Witnesses, and I still would even defend them, which is crazy. And it wasn't until, I don't know if I'm going past your questions or not, but
Yeah, you is.
I am. I've got to go on too far. Okay, we back up.
I
was born, first name's Craig Edwards. I don't go by the name anymore. I go by Malik. I've been going by Malik for about 20 years now. MK, my friends call me. I was basically born, raised as Jehovah's Witness. I woke up last year, saw some things that I couldn't believe. And because of who I am, I have to say something. I can't just be quiet about this shit. It's too much wrong. It's like people get mad about the cops, whatever. But they don't do anything about it. Sit back and be quiet. So that's why I'm here. But to bring me joy, honestly, right now, since I've been out here, is living, doing what the fuck I want to do. Excuse my French. I love it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't let anyone tell me what to do. That's why I'm self-employed. That's why I work for myself. I have a thing with authority. I think that's probably because of how I was raised. All those rules and all that structure, so-called structure, made me just, I can't stand that shit now. So now I just live my life, man. That's it. I live my life.
That's great. I was also raised being Jehovah's Witness, and I was the golden boy, goody two-shoe, kind of Jehovah's Witness thing in the front row on all this stuff as well. Although I didn't get into trouble because I've later on learned that I was codependent and I became a people pleaser. So maybe that's why. But I had all this stuff in my head, but I was a people pleaser, putting on a face to do my best. Because like, I've noticed I have an extreme personality. If I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it to the fullest. And if I'm going to leave, I'm going to leave to the fullest, which I did. Like when I left, I never looked back. I didn't even question nothing. Yeah. I just left. Yeah. And when I was in with armor and defense and everything as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I can totally see a similar story here. So how was... What was glorying Jehovah's Witness in the real world? Let's say if you were a Jehovah's Witness and then going to school, and when did you get disfellowship? What age?
Oh, young. Twice. The first time I was, I got probably approved. So the first time I was 19, and the second time I was about 21.
Okay, so were you working and going to school then? In the
yeah,
real world?
Yeah. I was always working since the age of like 15, 16, I've been working. And so, yeah. And then when I got this fellowship, I was in college at the time. So
now my question is, how was living, being a Jehovah's Witness, living in the worldly world? Like, how was that for you?
Like now or like back then?
Oh, back then. Back then, if
Yeah. I mean, I always been myself. Like even when I was a witness, I was still myself. That's why I was like, I guess everybody knew me because I just didn't give a, you know, I didn't give a damn about just whatever. When I was younger, yeah, middle school, early high school, I was kind of quiet, just hung out with my close friends. But then when I got a little older, I'm like, man, I'm just going to be myself. I get more things accomplished that way. Stuff's on the whole back, and mm-hmm. you know. And so I guess that was why it was easy for me to stay out so long, because I didn't feel the pressure. I didn't feel weird or lonely. I mean, I did at first, I went around my friends, but I made friends out here. So, you know, that's how that went for me.
And so how was being a Jehovah's Witness in the hall? Like, how did people basically treat you and interact with you?
Okay, so good question. So when I was in the hall, I was, you know, my dad was an elder. So I was always involved with things because, you know, my father. And then I always pioneered. So I was always extraly, you know, doing stuff. I was pioneering. I worked at the assembly hall. I was on the assembly hall crew. I was in the trucking department. You know, I worked on, that's probably why I have a trucking business now.
Nice.
I used to do the bulldozers. Yeah, I did the bulldozers and the backhoes, all that kind of stuff. So I was always gung-ho. Always gone home, you know, and then up until I got his fellowship. And then when I got his fellowship, you know, I was out here. So.
Wow. So what's the relationship with your parents now?
Well, now it's nothing, but up to, it was always cool, you know, for a long time. Even when I was his fellowship, it's always been cool. But now that I'm saying, now that I'm talking, yeah, I'm the enemy. So that means they're on the side with the enemy. I love them. But they're on the wrong side. So that's what it is.
So are you Sean or what's that word called?
Yeah, this fellowship. Yeah, I'm Sean. But I don't know. See, I have some family members that up to a point I was still talking to. I don't know about now, because I've been vocal this past, you know, a little while ago. So, but that's what it is, you know.
So when
my skin's gotten thick now. So before I can say probably a few years ago, I'd probably be a little funny about it, but mm-hmm. you know, it's what it is. It's what it
right.
is.
So when you mean, vocal, do you mean like you argue with them about their religion or?
No. I mean, like me going online now, it's the first time I ever did this. I'm not even a social media guy. I just started doing this recently when I posted my first video on TikTok. And so, I got on TikTok. And so that was the first time I ever did a video explaining, you know, what's going on, you know, so, because I want people to know. I want people to know why. For one, I've been in this fellowship and I've never been able to defend myself. People saying whatever the fuck they're saying about me, you know, and I don't know what they're saying. Or, it's going by what my brother or my father or whoever is saying about me when they talk to me. So I figure, you know what? Let me go and say my side of the story.
Right. Right. Because it's usually a one side story where, of course, growing up Jehovah's Witness, we're always right. So whatever they say is right. And then you're always wrong, regardless what it is. And especially I've interviewed some people who were raped and molested. And even them, they were wrong, regardless. And
crazy. That's crazy shit, man.
Yeah. And that's totally hurt people really deep, because especially if you disbelieve, that's one thing, but if you're really into it and someone does that to you and then they call you Bathsheba, that's messed up.
That's crazy. That is crazy. It's just, I don't know. We gotta do something about it. That's what I'm talking.
So when did your faith start dwindling? That's the word.
Wow. Man, it's crazy how it happened. I'm never gonna forget the moment it happened. So it happened last year. Basically, I was in Ohio with my family, and we're doing a whole Zoom thing now. They do Zoom meetings, and so it was a meeting. It was a Watchtower talking about the 144,000, and about the memorial and who's gonna be partaking of the emblems, or whatever. I remember reading something in there about if anyone partakes of the emblems, then something's wrong with them. Something's mentally, they don't know what they're doing. Like they actually would challenge people intelligence if they were partaking of that. If you believe you're going to heaven, you believe you're going to heaven. But to them, I don't know. It's just that made me start digging in because that was different than what they said before. I never heard that before. And so I started digging into more about the 144,000 and the real history about it, the real teachings and how they've changed their doctrines several times over. And then what is the one? We will never die thing. No one will ever die in this generation, whatever. So I started digging more and more detail. And there's a few people on YouTube I would give some credit to. One guy named Fifth. They call him the Fifth. Another one, the Critical Thinkers. I started watching their video. So also I'm watching a bunch of people and they're pointing out things I never even thought of before. But the number one deal was after that meeting, that same Watchtower, I downloaded Brother France, Frank Francis, I forgot his whole name. Yeah, right. The book.
The one who wrote the book, yeah.
Oh my God. I could not stop reading that bill. I mean, before it was Corona, so we had nothing to do anyways. So I'm in there like reading that shit every day, man. I couldn't stop reading. It was crazy. I'm like, all these things that I've been taught my whole life, like, hold up, man. And so I showed my boy a screenshot of the Matrix, you know, with the pill. Yeah, that's what it felt like. It felt like when I started waking up, it felt like I was in the fucking Matrix. I felt like I was Keanu Reeves, man. I had to take the pill. And everything that I had been taught was bullshit. And for me, it was extra bullshit because I was so gung-ho. I was like so fucking gung-ho in the hall, man. Like, we were like, me and my guys were the top, you know, like how you were. I was on assembly. I was a rugged pioneer early. I had messed up and still pioneered after that. And I still was on the assembly. You know, that's how gung-ho I was. I was going to go to Bethel, but to realize all that was bullshit. Wow, man. It's like it's a shock, bro. It's a shock.
Well, Bethel is a funny thing because I was going for Bethel as well. And then a brother, my oldest brother, we never had a good relationship. The only relationship we had was abuse. Like he would just bully me. But then when I was going, I don't know if it was based on jealousy or based on he was trying to save me. One time he like kind of like brisked me around and he was saying, don't you go to Bethel because if you do and you mess up, you're going to be homeless and you're going to be on the street because he has homies that went to Bethel. And then once they mess up, their family don't want them back in the house. So what do? You got no money, you got no career, nothing. You got no home to come back to. And he says, you better work, save your money, and live your life, and if anything happened, then at least you have basically money and a career. And so, of course, I didn't listen to him. I because there's a process to go to Bethel. I went through that process anyway. But while going through that process, when I moved out of my parents' house, and then I think like 6 weeks later, I had my first sex encounter, and then I was just like, you know what? There's no going back ever. So fuck this. Because like I feel like once I mess up, what am I gonna like put my tongue between my leg and confess and be in front of the jury? Like, I don't think so. So I just never.
I did that shit. You know, I did that. I mean, it happened to me because I got snitched on. And when I got, well, the first time when I was a kid, 15, I told on myself. I ain't gonna lie, it was crazy because I felt so guilty. Right. I was a kid. I was 15 years old. You know. They know that I was doing, shit happened, and I told my father. I felt bad. But after that, I don't know, I didn't feel bad no more. 19, 20 years old, it just things just happened. And then I couldn't be fake, though. You know, I couldn't be going to the hall knowing I did this. So I did tell. Especially, you know, when the girls were saying what they were saying about me, like I had to confess. Like, yeah, I did this. I remember one thing. I never forget this question, man. I never forgot this shit. This is the one thing. I remember being in a meeting one time. They doing a little quiz. And they asked me, did the girl give me oral sex or something? I never thought, why the fuck did they ask me that question? And then the dude act like it was a bad thing. I never understood that. I'm like, this nigga ain't getting no head. I'm sorry.
He probably wasn't getting any. Yeah.
But I'm like, damn, that's crazy, man. That's crazy that they're that damn strict. And so, I don't know. It's crazy.
So your parents are still Jehovah's Witnesses and your family?
Yeah, man. It's like, yeah, I have like basically my grandfather had six sons and all of them became witnesses.
Hmm. Wow. So did you say I'm kind of confused with the timeline. You haven't been Jehovah's Witness for 20 years?
I haven't been, but I never really gave up on it. You know, I kind of kept the belief. So because I kept the belief, I would go to the hall every so often. My family still stay, you know, pretty cool with me. You know, they didn't show me all the way. You know, when I see them, they would talk to me, all that kind of stuff. But I wouldn't go to family functions. I didn't go to any parties or I haven't been none of that in 20 years. It's just, if I saw them somewhere on the street, whatever, yeah, they were cool. But now.
Oh, I see.
Now it's a different story, probably.
Well, that makes sense because it seems like even when you're disfellowship, if you still, you know, when they say, when are you coming back to Jehovah? If you Jehovah, they can still talk to you because at least you're trying. But if you're now labeled an apostate, is that how you call it?
Apostate.
Apostate.
And you know what? And you know what? Fuck that title, man. That's right. What they call us. I'm not gonna let nobody label me. Fuck that. Right. I hate. I mean, I've seen some people out here call themselves that, man. I'm not that. I'm a king. Right. I'm myself. Yep. You know what I'm saying? So fuck the name, that label, and whatever they call me. They can call me that if they want. I know what I am. I know what you are. We're kings, man.
Exactly. Definitely. I never even want to care to know if they made a little speech about me. I just left and changed my number because it's like they were calling and texting back then, and I just changed my number. Like I've had this number for almost 20 years now. I left around 2002 or 2003, all exactly, around those times. So, yeah, but last year, and I think like every year, my mother reached out to me because of memorial, because their duty, they have to reach out regardless of what happens. So she makes a new number each time and I block her because, not because of anything like animosity, I just block her because I feel like it's kind of like, I understand it's your duty and you, because you believe in your religion, but it's like disrespectful when I don't want to need doing any part of it and you just want to put it in my face, kind of a thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like they don't want people to put the world in their face, but then they want to put their stuff in their face. Like, not cool. So why were you disfellowshipped?
I was fucking too much. No. But yeah.
Hey,
no,
you're
but yeah, that's it was,
normal human stuff. Honest.
Yeah, I was being a normal kid, man. I was a normal guy. And you know, girls were coming at me and stuff, and like I don't know, that was it. It was crazy. It wasn't even girls that was like in the so-called world, it was girls in the hall.
Wow.
It was girls in the hall, man.
Really?
It was, yeah, they were the worst ones. Man, wow. I don't tell you how bad it was. I'm gonna be honest, man. I know my girl going, man, but look, I used to keep lotion in my fucking glove department, bro. Lotion. I would pick these girls up and they would jack me off and shit. These sisters, man. Yeah.
You know, my question was gonna be, were they worldly people, but
yeah, like now, man, like I grab lotion out, we start kissing.
Wow. You know, when I spoke to so many people in those groups to the podcast, and I can never stop being amazed because I thought, of course, being Jehovah's Witness, you live in a bubble, but I was into a bubble. I knew none of this stuff.
Man, I was always, listen, there's a lot of like witnesses that are, they're gun-ho, but there are a lot of like, they're right there on the fence, man. They're like right there.
I had no idea.
Oh, shit.
Wow. Yeah.
That's why those ones I'm going after. I'm going after the ones that are right there on the fence. They already kind of question things anyways. Right. Yeah, the ones that's on the fence, the ones that are new, that are trying to figure things out.
Right.
And then, because no one's telling them, you know, because like once you get in, they get in deep. You know, you've already cut off all your former friends, all your former family members. Now all you have are witness people. And so now when they cut you off, you have nobody. And a lot of people can't deal with that. You know, a lot of people can't deal with having no one. You know, that's why I've heard that from several people I've talked to. They don't want to lose everyone they know, you know. And so what I want to do, I want to help those people. Like, look, man, we can build our own thing. Right. We don't need these fuckers. You know, let them be lost. If they want to stay lost, let them be lost and be in that fucking zombie state. If they want to wake up, come on. That's what I'm talking to. Those want to wake up and defend themselves and defend those kids out there who aren't being defended.
Right. It is like being in a narcissistic relationship or relationship where everything's great. When you join Virtual Visitness, it's like the best thing ever. And then they start telling you in relationship to, oh, don't talk to your parents anymore. Get rid of your friends. Quit your job. I'll take care of you and things like that.
Yeah.
And then you start being abused. And then you have nowhere to go to. That's exactly
the religion. Exactly what it is. Exactly.
Yeah, that's crazy. And this is why a lot of people call it a cult. Would you also call it a cult?
I'll call it a cult. And I also call it, I would give them, you know, one thing I've learned about war and when you balance somebody, you have to learn their strengths, learn what they've done. And I would give them credit for something that I haven't really seen a lot of people talk about this. And this is this. You think about each individual kingdom hall, right? Kingdom hall is made up of what? Congregations. These congregations are made up of what? Different people from different neighborhoods in that area. So you have local plumber, local painter, local guys who really aren't, I'm not trying to down anybody, but there's regular guys in any other situation, even at their job, even if they're a regular guy. But at the kingdom hall, if you become an elder, you're the king. Kingdom Hall. You're the king of that area. You know what I'm saying? Think about it. These guys are around, they're elders for 20, 30 years. People look at these guys, they're like gods. Oh, brother, this guy, he's been an elder for 30, 40 years. Whatever he says is law. That's how it is. These guys have their own kingdom. So these young guys like me when I was young, we seen these elders. That's who we want to be. You see these ministerial servants. You want to be right, you know, because that's the next level. You know, you want to be the pioneer because that's the next step up for Bethelite. You strive for these positions of power. Think about it, it's power. It's because true. When you get this, what do you get? You get power, you get the girls looking at you. I mean, that's the facts, you know, because when I had position, I had the girls anyways. I mean, then when you have a position, you can even got, man, it's ridiculous. Even the ugly fat motherfuckers were getting the girls. Like, how the hell did this dude get this pretty girl? Because he was an elder at 25 years old. That's how he got that pretty girl. You know, in any other situation, he would not. He'll be on YouTube or he'll be online.
It's true, yeah.
But because he's an elder, he gets the cream of the crop. That's the truth, man. I'm talking real. I'm talking real. You guys know it.
Yes, that's true. Thank you for that. So how do you feel about Jehovah's Witnesses now or the people? So the people you grew up with in the hall, basically, like, can you see their bullshit they were going through? Could you, like, see through it? What do you think of Jehovah's Witnesses now?
So check it out. So, like, I got my boys. And if they hear this, they see this. Y'all know who I'm talking to. I got my guys, right? All my guys have been in trouble at one point or another. They've been in trouble or y'all motherfuckers know it. I know the truth. I know where the bodies are buried, man. I know everything. So here's the deal. These guys, I want them to see the bullshit like I did. I want them to see, man, we were victims, man. These fuckers were using us. Yeah, basically, think about it. They look for the talented guys. They look for the guys that gun-ho, the soldiers. The guys that's going to go and follow directions, not question anything, but they got mad talent. They can talk well. They can think for themselves. They know how to defend themselves and other people. That's who they want. That's who become the top dogs. And then they make you an elder because you have to be a little of a lion to be an elder because you got to go after people. You have to defend the congregation. So that's what these guys become. Little kings. Goes back to that little analogy I was using. Analogy. Yeah. You know, so learn that from the Kingdom Hall. So anyways, these guys, they build people up. But then at the same time, the second you cross them, they kick your ass out and make everybody hate you, make everybody go against you. And then it's you against a million motherfuckers. And like most people are like, man, fuck this. You just go off and do whatever. And that's how I was doing it until I started to go back. When I went back, and honestly, I went back because all the people were dying. Corona was happening. People were dying everywhere. I had family members that were dying. People getting old. I'm like, damn, man, I want my mom. I won't lose this time with my mom because I'm out here in this world. So let me try to get back in. And as I'm going back in, I start seeing the bullshit. I start seeing so many things that were like corny as fuck, laughable. Like, how in the world? Y'all don't see this shit? But when you're in it, like, you ever watch that fucking, you ever watch those videos, those online, jw.org? Man, what the fuck, man? If anyone else watches this shit, if it was on SNL or any other YouTube, people be laughing their asses off. But because it's such a devout witness, you're like, oh my God, listen to this brother. They're like zombies. Like I told my girl, they're zombies, man. And so I want them to wake up. And yeah. I think there are a lot of people out here talking. I haven't seen a version like myself. I haven't seen, like I was saying, they're not talking loud enough. You know, mm-hmm. I'm glad you're out here doing what you're doing. I hear other people, and I'm so proud of us for doing this. But I think we need to be louder. I think we can be louder. This social media is not being used enough. I want to use it more because these young people are powerful as fuck, man. I seen it with this TikTok thing the other day. I'm like, I've never been in that shit in my life. And like, how the hell I got all these followers? Like, what the fuck? This is crazy because I'm talking real. And these young people here, they see it. And that's all they want, man. And I learned that from doing the street shit, doing these guys. When you're in the world and you're in the streets, they see through bullshit. These young boys, they see when you're corny, they see when you're fake, they see when you're full of bullshit, they see it, they read it, especially when they've been through some shit. And so that's honestly why I woke up like I did. When I came back to the hall, I was a gangster. When I was in the hall, I was a straight guy. I was, you know, a good guy. When I came back, I was G'd up. I've been in prison. I've done all kind of wild shit. I can tell you, man. And so those things have made me sharp. Those things have made me see through shit that other people probably don't see. So when I'm at the hall, I'm like, hold on, what the fuck? What the Everything they say, this is bullshit. This is bullshit. This is bullshit. This is all bullshit. So that's what I'm doing now. I'm seeing it. I got my oldest daughter trapped in it. Because honestly, I just woke up. While she's trying to figure out life, I'm still kind of promoting it, you know? And instead of me turning it down and telling her the bad things about it, I'm kind of promoting it. And my mom, my family. And now my oldest daughter and my mom is what motivated me the most. You know, my mom motivated me to I want to get back in to spend time with her before she leaves. But then, as I start waking up, I'm like, I got to get my daughters out of here. You know, my youngest two, I feel confident they're not going to be part of that bullshit. But my oldest daughter, she's all the way in there. You know, so, you know, that's my goal. Hopefully one day to get her out.
Wow. So that's all I can do. So you got have children in the being Jehovah's Witness and okay.
Yeah, I have. I mean, it's my fault, man, because honestly, when I got this fellowship, like I said, I still held on to the beliefs. And so when the second mother of my children, when we had our kids together, when she was pregnant, actually, I started talking to her about the hall, about the Bible. And I talked about it so much that she wanted to learn more about it. And she wanted our daughters to be raised up in it. Because that's how much I talked about it, even when I was fellowship. Mm-hmm. So I regret that now, but because I never studied it. You know, I never researched shit. I just was like a zombie myself.
Yeah, same.
So.
Okay. So, question for you. Talking about waking up people. Do you?
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, when they say ignorance is bliss, and I feel like some people, if they are blissfully happy in where they're at, is it necessary to wake them up for whose sake? For yours or theirs? Like, how do you feel about that? Have you thought about that?
It's a good point. It's like this. It's a combination. It's as if you live in your house, and my neighbor over there, I see smoke come out the window. Now, yeah, so the house burns down. I'm not going to lose anything by that. But at the same time, you know, why would I sit here and let that happen? Why would I let the smoke come out and I don't do nothing about it? I'm going to go over there, knock on their door, get them the fuck out as best I can, you know, call ambulance, do whatever I can to help their family get out their house and save what they have. Even if they don't see the value of it, man, do something. And then if they say, fuck you, whatever, okay, whatever, no big deal. I did. I feel good. I'm still feel good. I'm going to go take a shit and feel good about myself. I ain't worried about them. but at the same time, there are people that's in there and they don't know certain things. That's how I really feel. I really feel that certain people don't know. Like myself, up to last year, I did not know certain things that I know now. And so I want to expose. Fuck yeah, I want to expose. I want to let them know. And I'm not cool about it. I guess, yeah, I said life may be hard. And so I'm not talking to them soft. I'm not coming at them like, you know, please, you know, whatever. No, man. Fuck the bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Y'all are allowing bullshit to happen. Y'all are allowing molesters to walk around in the Kingdom Hall and be cool and hug up on the sisters and hug up on my daughters like it's cool. Man, fuck that. Fuck that. And I'm going to tell you something that happened. I'm going to be some honest truth.
Yeah.
You know, these kids are young. These girls, I have daughters. These girls are 13, 14 years old, and they're doing normal shit that the girls do. They have sex. And then they feel bad about it and talk to your brothers. Now they have to go into a room. They're not even 14, 15 years old. And they got these grown, weird-ass dudes asking questions like three or four. I mean, I know about these questions. They ask me the same weird-ass questions. It's like, what the fuck, y'all? Weird? Gay? I don't give a fuck what they are, but why are you coming to me like that? I'm a fucking kid. You know what I'm saying? I was a kid when I was going. I was 15 years old, man. You know what I'm saying? They don't even ask those kind of questions, man. That's some bullshit.
It's inappropriate.
You know, and people.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's not appropriate. And people, and they need to be checked. They need to be checked and not checked in a cool way. Like, hey, you know, I'm going to write them a letter. Please stop. No, fuck y'all motherfuckers. Stop doing that shit.
Right.
I'm Malcolm X-ing in this bullshit. Yeah, that's how I feel.
Yeah.
There needs to be a Malcolm X out here. You know what I'm saying? Talking real, talking lies to these fuckers, man, because right now no one else is doing it. And we can do it. I like your channel. I like what you're doing, the videos I'm doing. We keep doing this. We're going to wake some motherfuckers up.
Yeah,
that's totally how I feel.
Thank you for that. And so what did you mean by I'm at war on the DM?
I'm at war. All right. Okay. I go into long stuff about that, but it's real simple. I cannot go another day knowing what they're doing. Hearing all these stories about, like, for example, a lady in Utah, 15 years old, she got raped. It was a recording of the rape. The brothers made her, they replayed the tape in the meeting for hours at hand, asking her questions. She had to relive this shit, man. Not only talk about it, had to hear it. What kind of, man, no. So stuff like that, all these other hundreds of examples of that continuing to happen, got to stop it, man. That alone needs to be stopped. The two witness rule. Come on. Two witnesses have to be there. So this guy can basically But lest this little girl, this little boy, her word against him, they don't even report it to the cops. So he never goes to jail or nothing. He may get in trouble. He can't comment or something. He can't have his little privileges for 6 months. Yeah, so they would get in trouble, for example, and they'll, you know, be disfellowshipped or reproved for 6 months. And 6 months back, that molester, he'd come right back into the hall and target another kid. Or wait a little while and get close to another family and spend time with them. Like, he's helping them. I'm going to help them move. I'm going to help the sister move. But all of a sudden, now he's helping the little kid do a little project, and he's touching the kid, you know, taking the kid off to little walks and other weird shit. So they need to expose these fuckers, man. They need to stop them. Even if other witnesses are doing what they're doing, expose the molesters, you know. Right. They got a secret file. That's crazy.
Well, the thing is, I feel, I don't remember which exactly the verse, but the verse where give to Caesar and basically do not let Caesar into the religion kind of a thing to manage.
Yeah.
I'm like, I understand that, but they're so rigid with that rule. That's why they're not calling the cops. But if they're calling the cops, and I feel like that issue probably would be eradicated because people would be like, okay, there's so many examples of people being arrested, so they would either stop doing it or if they do it, they'll get in trouble. But because they're not calling the cops, that's why it's going rampant, because of that rigid rule.
Yep. I believe what it is, it's a combination. It's a combination of them trying to keep the organization looking good.
Right.
And then at the same time, it's guys that have positions of power. They want to keep the power. That's what it is. And they want to keep the influence. And so we got to attack. We got to attack the fuck out of them. Let the world know what they're about. Because other countries are doing it. Australia are already doing it. But America in here, they're not doing it enough. In Australia, I can send you a link on that. I have a article I can send you. They had a thing a few years ago. They actually went after the governing body was brought in. They had two or three elders on stands. And they actually lied on stand. A couple of elders came out and actually exposed them lying. Like, y'all are under oath. And y'all lied. It's like that. It was about the same thing. Some kid had got molested, and they ended up winning the case. They ended up winning some money, but it was a big thing, blown up, big time. Wow. I have four or five links I'll send you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you expose,
it's like not even understand. Like, if you are actually practicing what's in the Bible, they shouldn't lie for the reason of being religious anyway. So they totally know they're doing something wrong. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, they always talking about, that's the thing. They talk about Catholics and other religions, but they didn't talk about them. I mean, theirs is worse. Theirs to me is worse. Because they're going around and these guys never get in any type of trouble about it at all. I mean, it's crazy.
Right. Uh-uh. Well, you know how it is. Most in psychology way, and I don't know if you did that. I did that when I was a kid, and my siblings did that when we were a kid. Once the older kid or the younger kid got in trouble, what they do is they tell on the older kid first. And they like badmouth them so they can look good. So that's what they're doing. They're like talking about the Catholics all the time. And then we ate it up and we believed it as if they're good.
Believe it, yeah.
And then when it's happening to us, it's like, even it happens, those things didn't happen to me, but they happened to my sisters. And one of them been out for a while, but the other two are still there and it happened to them. So I don't know what's going on through their minds, but you know what they say? It's like the religion is not bad. It's just a few bad apples kind of a thing. But still, it's like, yeah, it's crazy. So did you ever feel safe being a Jehovah's Witness when you were?
Yeah. I felt safe. I felt okay.
Also, you didn't know these stories until like last year, you mentioned, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like basically, I didn't know it was this bad. I heard of a couple stories of some people, you know. I knew it was going through things, but I didn't know it was like this. I didn't know the cases was like this bad all over the world, like this, hundreds and hundreds of cases. And then them knowing about it, not doing anything about it, it's just crazy. Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious to know, when you were misbehaving, when you were being part of the hall, what was your thought process? Did you feel, were you misbehaving because you stopped, you didn't believe? Or were you, did you, because you say you believe, but like, because I want to understand your thought process. Because like me, if I believe in something, because I'm stubborn, I'm like 100% about it.
Kind of. So that's the thing. Okay. Yeah. So that's the thing. I was 100% about it. But okay. So the first time I was 15, you know, I was 100% to the hall, everything. But then I was in summer school. I'm around girl every day, all day. For 4 hours by ourselves, I mean, one thing will happen, you know, one thing leads to another, before you know it, boom. So I felt bad. I mean, I felt bad about that. I was a kid, whatever. But when I got older, I don't know. I did feel bad, but it just, I don't know. At the same time, I kind of kept it to myself, and to the girl, they came out with it, and then that's what happened.
Other
girls, I got a story too. Yeah, I got a story about that. I gotta admit this, man. This is funny shit. Okay. No, but I was throwing parties. Right? And so this is about myself. So I knew I was gonna get this fellowship. I already went to the brothers. And so they was gonna announce my name, like I forgot what it was, like on a certain day or whatever. But my party was like that fucking Saturday. I had this big ass party. Everybody was coming. I said, hell no, man. I can't get this fellowship before my party. And so they had something called appeal. So I appealed it. I knew what the fuck I was doing. I used their bullshit against them. And so I appealed it to buy myself some time. So I threw my party that Saturday, went out and did my thing. And then they announced my name the following week that I got this fellowship after I threw the party.
Oh, Jehovah's Witness party?
Fuck. Yeah. But I was, it was like all my friends though. It was all my friends. It was a big ass thing. So I put my money and time into it.